If you want a title for today's message, is Get in the Game. Get in the Game. And you guys, you want to put that title up for us this morning? And when I was at school, I know you would find this hard to believe looking at me this morning, but I wasn't actually a great sportsman. I wasn't a great athlete. You know, as I've got older, I have matured and I've really come of age. But at school, I was not a great sportsman. And anyway, I never was that talented. And I had a friend of mine through particularly primary school and high school. And he was one of those guys that was just he would excel at any sport he played. It didn't matter what it was. He would win the running races. He would win the long distance. He would win the sprints. He was fantastic at Aussie rules. He was excellent at soccer. And then he'd play something he never played before, and he would win that too. He was just one of those sort of guys. Well, there you go. That's Scott. And so he was just like that. And I remember we played soccer together at primary school, and then we played together for a while at high school, and until I changed to footy or Aussie rules, thinking that by changing code that I would probably excel in something else. But the thing about the difference between me and him is he was always in the game. He was right in the game. I used to find myself wanting to be in the game. I really wanted to be right in the game. But have you ever done that? You know, as you guys that you know are not as blessed as I am now in this natural athleticism. But you know, you start to want to get in the game, and you find yourself sort of, you know, running around the edge and not really being able to get in the game. And there are those others that are always in the game. They seem to be where the ball is. Or the ball just seems to follow them around. They just seem to have this magnetism that they are where the ball is. The thing is, he was actually one of those people that would run into space. He would be able to anticipate where the ball was going to be, and he would actually be running into the space, and he would find himself in that place. But really, for the rest of us, we don't always experience that. And I think life can be a little bit like that sometimes too. We see things that we would like to be involved in. We see stuff that we would like to do, and we get all these ideas. But we think, oh, how can I get in the game? How can I be part of that? How can I be involved? And if you're honest, sometimes you probably feel a little bit like me on the football field, where you're sort of running around trying to get in the game, trying to get involved, but it seems like somehow you can't quite get in the game. It feels like you can't quite get in where the action is. You can't quite be where it is. So how do we get in the game? Point number one is do what you can. Point number one this morning about getting in the game is do what you can. You see, my mate, his name was Nigel, he was able to position himself to get in the play. And really, it's not about what you hold. To get involved in the game is not about what you hold, but it's about doing what you can. You see, to stick to the football analogy just for another 10 seconds, what do you do in a footy game when the ball is passed to you? You know, look at me, I got the ball, great, rah, rah, rah. You don't actually do that. If you take a mark or something, a big screamer, where you're going to live in that moment just for a bit. But you don't grab the ball and now I've got the ball and you stop. If you do that, you'll be tackled by, you know, and you'll find yourself on the ground with somebody else with the ball. When you take possession of the ball in most sports, what do you need to do? You've got to run, and you've very quickly got to get rid of it. You've actually got to pass on what has been passed to you. You've actually got to give away. And you see, the thing about sport, isn't it amazing, where you live wanting possession. You see, football is a possession game. If your team can keep possession of the ball and get it through the big sticks at the end, well, you're going to win the game. But the thing about, on an individual level, personally, yes, you want possession of the ball, but as soon as you get possession of the ball, you've actually got to get rid of the ball. You've actually got to pass that possession on to somebody else. You've actually got to take what you've got and actually give it to somebody else. So that which you've received, you've actually got to give it away and give it to somebody else. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 says this. And Paul is talking to he's talking about some guys called the Macedonians. And he's speaking to the Corinthians. Now, the Macedonians were living in poverty. Their ground wasn't fertile. They were off the trade routes. You know, they were stuck in the back blocks. Macedonia didn't have a lot going for it. And Paul starts to talk to the Corinthians about the Macedonians. And he says, "Now, I want you to know, dear brothers and sisters, what God in his kindness has done through the churches in Macedonia. They're being tested by many troubles. They're very poor, but they are also filled with abundant joy, which has overflowed in rich generosity. For I can testify that they gave not only what they could afford, but far more. And they did it from their own free will. They begged us again and again for the privilege of sharing the gift with the believers in Jerusalem." Now, these guys, as we've said, they didn't have a lot going for them in the natural. Really, Macedonia was stuck in the back blocks. It wasn't a fertile, it wasn't good for agriculture, it wasn't on a trade route, and these guys were living in poverty. But they were punching seriously above their weight. They're the guys on the VB ad, you know, the men that punch above their weight. And Joe's a bit like that. He's one of those guys that's punching above his weight, isn't he, Anna? But they were saying to Paul, come on, we want to get in the game. We want to be involved. We want to contribute to what's going on in Jerusalem. They didn't think, oh, well, if we were blessed, if we had all that we needed, then we could get in the game. Then we could get involved. Then we could be generous. They said, no, let us help. And I think Paul was almost a little embarrassed. He was saying, hey, guys, just be careful here. You guys haven't got a lot. You're not totally blessed. You're not overwhelmed with financial resource. And he was trying to almost manage their enthusiasm a little bit. But they were pleading with Paul. They were saying, hey, Paul, let us give. We want to contribute to the Christians in Jerusalem who are doing it tough. We want to be part of the blessing in their life. We want to get into the game. We want to be involved. They didn't give out of possession. They gave out of position. They didn't give out of possession, they gave out of position. And it wasn't their physical position. It wasn't that they were on the best trade route. It wasn't that they had everything they should. They weren't like living in Tasmania at the moment where it's green and stuff's growing like mad. They weren't in a place like that. In the natural, they didn't have it, but they gave out of the position of their hearts. You see, doing what we can is about the position of our hearts. Proverbs 4:23 says, keep and guard your heart, listen to this, with all vigilance, and above all else guard your heart, for out of it flows the springs of life. Let's not allow our hearts to become cynical. Let's not allow our hearts to become bitter. Let's not allow our hearts to become suspicious. Let's not allow our hearts to become numb. In a world where we wake up every day and it seems like there's another disaster on the television, or it seems like there's something else going on and it seems like there is immense need across the world, sometimes we can almost become numb to it. Oh, you know, another cyclone, another tsunami, this or that. But let's not become numb to those things. Let's never forget that every time something like that happens, it's real lives, it's real people that are going through that devastation. If you find yourself crying every time you watch one of those things, don't think I'm a big sook and a big softy and you've got to stop it. Let's allow God to make that position of your heart something that causes you to do something about that. You see, it won't be necessarily the fact that you suddenly are blessed with all abundance so I can make a difference. That will be fantastic. But I tell you what, the position of your heart will make much more difference to what you're able to do than really the physical blessing that you find yourself in or you don't find yourself in. Let's not allow our hearts to become numb. Yeah, that's right. Paul is speaking to the Corinthians, and they had some wealthy people among them. And he's not trying to put a guilt trip on them. He's challenging their thinking and their priorities. He's encouraging them to use their position to get in the game, to use their position to get involved. He says, hey guys, why don't you use your influence and use your affluence to make a difference? And he knew by getting them involved in the game, not only would it help other people, but it would also help them. He knew that these guys needed to be in the game. He knew that they needed to be part of what God was doing in the kingdom. And he says, hey guys, come on, there's a fantastic opportunity here. Why don't you get involved? Why don't you get in the game? 2 Corinthians 8 verse 13, he says, of course, I don't mean your giving should make life easy for others and hard for yourselves. I only mean that there should be some equity. Right now, you have plenty and you can help those who are in need. He says, what an opportunity you have. What an opportunity you have going on here. 2 Corinthians 9, 8 and 3, it says, and God will generously provide, he's still talking to the Corinthians, and God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others, as the scriptures say. They share freely and give generously to the poor. Their good deeds shall be remembered forever. Paul is praying that they will continue to live in blessing and they will continue to be in a position to help people. Yeah. He wasn't actually saying, well, you've got an opportunity now, why don't you give and then there'll be equality here, then you'll be like the Macedonians and then you won't have much. He said, no, you have an opportunity. I want you to position your heart so that you can give, so that you can be involved. And then he said, and then I pray that God will continue to bless you. That God will continue to keep you in a position where you can make a difference right across the kingdom of God. It wasn't like this sort of, well, you got a lot now and we want to bring some sort of equity. He wasn't bringing a socialist or a communist sort of thinking to that. He was actually saying, well, do what you can. You're in a position now to help people. And why don't you decide that you're going to use that position that you have, that you're going to use that affluence that you have, that you're going to use everything that you have to help others, to help those that are in need. And then he says, and I believe that God's not going to leave you guys stranded. I pray that God will continue to pour those things into your world so that you can continue to be a blessing. My heart for us, my heart for you, is that you will do what you can. So you won't be like me trying to play football, you know, running around the play, trying to get in the game. My heart for you is that you would be in the game. Yeah. My heart for us as Energizer Life Church is that together we would be in the game. That together we would be involved. That together we would do what we can. Position yourself to be in the game. Do what you can. If you're a mum with four kids, there'll be stuff that you can't do. You mightn't find yourself being able to be on our outreach team to New Norfolk that's really starting to gather momentum and things are starting to happen up there. That might not be where you're able to be. Your heart might be there, but your availability looking after four kids probably won't enable you to be in that place. But 2 weeks ago, we had one of our fantastic mums, Anna Thomason, and she stood here and she shared about the impact that she's having in Richmond. She shared about the way that she's ministering to other mums. She's ministering to women that have gone through breakups. She's ministering to a girl who right now is suffering with a terminal illness. You see, she's not allowing her situation, she's not allowing what's going on in her world to take her out of the game. She said, I want to be in the game, I want to be involved, and I'm going to do what I can. And you see, that's what we've got to do. We've got to be a group of people that do what we can. We do what we can as individuals, and then when we come together as a team, it's amazing what we can do when we all do what we can. This morning in the miracle offering, we can all get in the game. We can all be involved. Some of us will be able to give what to some might seem a lot, and some of us may be able to give what to others might seem lesser. But you see, that's not what it's about. It's the fact that we all can get in the game, that we can all do it. We can all give sacrificially. See, it's not whether you got a lot or a little. The reality is we can all give in a sacrificial manner. We can all decide that we're going to sacrifice something so that we can get in the game. We will sacrifice something individually. We'll sacrifice something together so that we can help those that need our help. because we're in a position to be able to do that. That's what Paul was talking about when he was talking about the equity. So point two, how can I get in the game? How can I be involved in the game? Decide to use your gifts. We all have them. Not a rocket science point, is it? But it's truth. We all have them. And notice I've used the word plural, gifts. You see, you all have gifts. There will be some things that might be your, you know, your outstanding number one gift that you're able to excel in, but you all have gifts. Listen to what Romans 12 verse 8 says. It says, if your gift is to encourage others, what's it say? Be encouraging. If your gift is to give, then give generously. If God has given you the gift of leadership ability, take that responsibility seriously. And if you have the gift of showing kindness to others, do it gladly. We can all encourage. We can all give. We can all lead. We can all show kindness. You see, there are some people that excel in some of those areas. Now, if the offering bucket comes past you and you're in church and you think, well, I'm not going to give because I don't have the spiritual gift of giving. That is absolute stupidity. Because God might give you another gift, celibacy. I'm not speaking a curse on anybody. There are people here who have the spiritual gift of giving. That God has enabled you to give in an amazingly generous way. But you see, we all have a gift to give. We can all give. We can all do what we can. We can all decide that we're going to do that. You know, there are some people that are just so encouraging. You know, you sit down, you have a coffee with them, and you think, wow, you know, I feel so much better after being in their presence. They just encourage me so much. Wasn't it wonderful? And others of us don't necessarily have that same gift, but it doesn't mean that we can't be encouraging. It doesn't mean that we can't use what we've got to encourage. You see, we can all encourage. Well, some people are just naturally kind. You know, they just, everything they do is kind. It's nice. And others of us have got to work on it a little bit. I didn't come out of my mother's womb nice. Neither did you. You're all slimy. Some of you became nice. Others of us just try to be nice. But the reality is, yes, some people have those gifts. Some people just have a gift of kindness. But we can all be kind. Now, as I've said before, I wasn't the most gifted sportsman at school. But I liked sport. I really did. And I was willing, and I loved being part of a team. Now, the high school I attended, it may have been the biggest high school in Tassie at the time. We had 1,000 kids at our high school, at Reese High School in Devonport. And so when the school sports carnivals were on, there were lots of divisions, say at the athletics carnival or at the swimming carnival. You know, there were probably 10 or 15 divisions, and Division 1 was the fast people, and Division 15 or something was the slow people, who either just were slow or didn't really care, you know. So people fitted somewhere in there. Now, I remember at one of the swimming carnivals, and each house, you know, in high schools, do they still do it like this? We had houses, you know, we had, you know, the red house, the blue house, the green house, and we all had names. And I think we were Taruna or something like that. That was one of the boats that sailed out of Devonport once. Anyway, my housemaster comes to me. I'm getting all G'd up in the swimming carnival to do that. The 50 metres freestyle, you know. And doing all this and walking backwards and forwards and, you know, sitting down psyching up. And my housemaster comes to me and he says, Dave, I'm wondering if you can... I was in about probably Division 5. And he said, I wonder if you could swim in Division 1. I said, you want me to swim with the fast boys? He said, yeah. He said, actually, we've done the maths. And if you come last in Division 1, you will get more points than if you win Division 5. Yeah. Now, I actually think, I reckon I would have won Division 5. I've got a feeling. I was swimming all right. I could have won Division 5. But I remember there was no hesitation at the time at all. Yeah, I'll swim in Division 1. I don't care if I come last. But we're actually going to get points for the team. We're going to go for our life here. And you see, why did he actually come and ask me? There were plenty of other people that he could have asked. But he knew that I would give it everything that I had. He knew that it wouldn't look silly, and I remember that race. It was 50 metres, it's not very long, it goes over in a few seconds. I remember the first 25 metres, I was level with the fast guys. You know, 25 metres, I was right there with them. And of course, they all pulled away in the second 25, but it didn't look like a disaster, it didn't look like a setup, it didn't look like, you know, this guy was just there to pick up the points, which I was. You see, he knew that I was willing. He knew that I was a team player. He knew that I wanted to see our team win. And he knew that I wanted to be in the game. So that's the reason that he asked me. And this morning, as I look around here, we've got some amazing people, incredibly talented people. You can do all sorts of amazing things. But you see, what will make the difference between what actually happens from here on in your life and what doesn't happen is more about your willingness to use what you have. It's not about saying, hey God, pour out your gifts on me, anoint me and all these things. Yes, be hungry and seek God in that way. But it's actually a willingness to get in the game. It's a willingness to say, I am going to use the gifts that I have and I'm going to help people however I can and I'm going to make a difference with what I've got. I am going to encourage people. I mightn't have the spiritual gift of encouragement. I mightn't be one of those people that's able to make everybody just light up. But I tell you what, you can write somebody a card and say how much you appreciate them. You can look at them and smile and you can say, you are fantastic. We can all give sacrificially. We can all show kindness. That's how we get in the game. The third thing is, how can I be involved? How can I get in the game? Number three, decide to live generously. Not just, oh, suddenly I'm going to be blessed and I'm going to have a whole lot to give away. You need to decide to live generously. You need to make that decision. Proverbs 11, 24 and 26 says, give freely and become more wealthy. Be stingy and lose everything. The generous will prosper. Those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. People curse those who hoard up the grain. Have you ever noticed that? Have you ever noticed that there was somebody in your street or your world as you grew up and they had a reputation as a bit of a miser or a bit of a tidy or something like that? And people would curse them. People would make jokes about them behind their back. Is there something about that that doesn't go across very well? People will curse those who hoard up the grain, but they bless the ones who sells at times of need. See, the world of the generous, the Bible says somewhere else, the world of the generous becomes larger and larger. In other words, being generous is deciding, I've heard this terminology, live large. When we had Grant and Kathy Wills down here, they were talking about living large. And I thought that was a bit funny from them because they actually, in Sydney, share a scooter. These are people that live large. They don't drive around a Cadillac. The pair of them, they're big people, and they get on a scooter and they ride together around Sydney on a scooter. But really what they were talking about was not a physical thing. Living large is about deciding to live generous. It's about helping those who are it's in your heart to help. It's smiling. When you go to a shop to buy something, you can stand there and be grumpy and think about all the things you've got to do and be texting and talking on your phone and or you can smile. You can engage the person who's serving you. You can get involved. You can get in the game. You see, you can, that my local shop, people rushing in all the time, but when you actually look up and you actually get involved in the world of what's going on and you just start to smile and talk, you actually feel like you're connected. feel like you have some sort of connection with that. That's how we get in the game. In the Amplified Bible, Proverbs 11, 24 and 22 says, those who generously scatter abroad and yet increase more, and then there are those who withhold more than is fitting or what is justly due, but it results only in want. Those who generously scatter abroad. And in a church like ours, we can look around and we can say, hey, there's lots of need in our city. There's lots of things going on around our state and all that sort of thing. But it says those who generously scatter abroad. You see, I think the calling is not just to be locked into one area. It's not to be locked into just what we can do here in Hobart. I've been talking about mission for the last 3 or 4 weeks here, and we're talking about the mission that we have, how we can see this city transformed, how we can see people helped, how we can see people change one life at a time, how we can be urban missionaries, how we can do all those sorts of things. But the Bible says about generosity, it's almost like scattering abroad. In other words, being generous wherever you can. That's why we want to be involved in other places. That's why we want to be involved in Nepal. That's why we're involved in India, because we want to scatter abroad. Doesn't mean that's going to limit what we can scatter here. Doesn't limit what we can do in Hobart. It actually increases our world. It increases our level of influence. It increases what we could do. Wouldn't it be good if suddenly we had an incredibly rich benefactor in our church? Maybe Bill Gates moves to Tasmania, makes a lifestyle choice. Why wouldn't he? And anyway, you're out, you're down at Salamanca, you're having a coffee, and you run into Bill and his lovely wife, and you start to share the gospel with them, and they get saved. Bang, right there. Come to church on Sunday. Here we got Bill Gates, Energizer Life Church. Fantastic. Bill, do you know about tithing? Let me explain to you some biblical principles. Wouldn't it be great? You guys wouldn't have to tithe. We could do everything we wanted. Fantastic. We could be helping people all over the state and all across the globe on Bill's tithe. Wouldn't that be absolutely wonderful? Would it be wonderful? You see, if we had Bill Gates tithing in our church, or maybe we'll localise it, maybe Andrew Forrest joins our church, would we stop taking miracle offerings because we've suddenly got all this money? We wouldn't. We would not stop taking up regular offerings. We would not stop taking up miracle offerings. Why? Because we need to be in the game. We all need to be involved. You see, it's much more important. You see, the reason that we decide that on top of everything else we can do is that we want to give beyond ourselves. There's a biblical principle of bringing the first fruits of what we get into the house of God. And I believe really strongly as you read the Bible that a great place to start is 10%. It's a biblical principle. It runs throughout the Word of God. And why do we think, well, some people are being stretched to give 10%. It's hard. It's not that easy. There's all this stuff going. Why do we take a miracle offering on top of that? Because we need to be in the game. We need to be involved. We need an opportunity to give. You see, if we want God to do something in our worlds, we've actually got to not just live with what we have. We've got to step from where we are into the faith zone. We've actually got to give God room to do something in our life. We've actually got to decide that we need to be people that live in that place. That we don't just live on Easy Street. We don't just live with everything coming in and everything's really, really cool. I'm not talking about making stupid decisions. I'm not talking about doing things so that you know, if you make one mistake or something like that, that you're going to get your house repossessed. But I am saying that we need to live in a way that gives God some room to move. That, and as you grow in that, you'll start to trust him more, and you'll start to understand that, and you'll find yourself being able to do more than that. You know, some people will share the testimony that over a period of time that they've been able to just even increase their regular tithing. You know, they might have started at 5% or 2% or something like that. As their faith has developed, as God has shown them how to manage what they have, and they've been able to increase that. That's the place that we've got to live. It's not about us as a church thinking we just need to take your money so we can do what we've got to do. Yeah, there are heaps of needs. There are all sorts of things that I'd like to do. Next year, and this is not out of miracle offerings, this is out of our regular tithe. I want to increase what we do in media. I want us to be able to buy, you know, cameras and mixing gear so that we can actually produce things and get them on the internet and get the message out there and bring connection across our city in all sorts of new innovative ways. There's so much need. We need a new PA. There's all sorts of things that we need. And we don't want to do that out of miracle offering. I believe that we're going to be able to do that out of what we give every week, out of what we do. But we need to create an opportunity to get in the game, to be part of where we're going and what we're going to do and being able to help people, see people blessed across the globe. And it's not about what we do by ourselves. It's about what we do together. The worship team want to join me, please. Live your life in the game. This morning, if you really want to get in the game, we've got to understand what the heart of Jesus is. The heart of Jesus wasn't that you'd feel disconnected. The heart of Jesus wasn't that you'd feel isolated. The heart of Jesus isn't that you'd feel alone. The heart of Jesus is that you would be adopted into the family of God. What happens? There'd be people here this morning that would have been adopted. You'd know that the family that you live with is perhaps not your genetic parents. But when you joined that family, you took on the identity of that family. You took on the name of that family. You took on everything that family had. You took on, in many cases, you know, you take on everything that's there. You take on the inheritance of that family. You take on the wholeness of that family. That's the heart of Jesus. He says, if we want to be involved, if we want to be in the kingdom of God, Jesus says, come to me all. Come to me all who are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come to me with exactly what you have and get involved. That's how that we get in the game. This morning, before we finish the service, I want to give people the opportunity to make the most exciting decision that you could possibly make. And that is to say, Jesus, I want to be adopted into your family. I want to be adopted into the family of God. And that happens through us realizing that there's nothing that we can do to make ourselves more adopted. You might have seen movies and things like that where you see a whole group of kids in an orphanage. And you know, these prospective parents come around. It doesn't happen now, things have changed. But they come around, they almost want to choose a child to adopt. And you watch one of these sort of, you know, heart-wrenching sort of stories, and all the kids are sort of getting themselves ready and putting on their nicest clothes and trying to make themselves adoptable, trying to make themselves the ones that will be picked. You see, the thing about the heart of God is it's not like that. He doesn't look around and think, well, gee, she's nice or he's nice and I'd like to pick her. It's the heart of God that all would come and join the family of God. It's the heart of God that all of us would say yes to Jesus. We would say, yes, I want to join the family. Yes, I want to be adopted. I want to have the inheritance that God has. It just happens very simply, but it's a huge decision. It's us saying, Jesus, I know that I can't do anything at all to make myself more acceptable to you. The only thing that I can do is acknowledge that I need you. Acknowledge that I can't get there by myself. I need to acknowledge that actually I was born into this thing that the Bible calls sin, which is basically rebellion. It's turning your back on God. And all humanity is actually afflicted with that. And we've got to take personal responsibility of that. We can't just say, well, I'm like I am because I was born into this family or I was born into that neighbourhood. We've got to say, no, I take responsibility for that. And I know that I can't change in myself, but Jesus, would you come into my heart right now? Would you come into my world? I want to be adopted into your family. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes just for a moment. Maybe you've been sort of thinking about this for a little while. Or maybe it's the first time that you've even thought about this. But this morning, would you like to be adopted into the family of God? Would you like to be part of the most exciting game that you could ever play? Would you like to be part of the kingdom of God? Would you like to be part of His family? This morning, if you would say, yes, Jesus, I want that. Yes, Jesus, I want you to come into my life. Yes, Jesus, I thank you that you died for me. Yes, Jesus, I'm going to turn away from my own rebellion and I'm going to follow you. If that's you, just slip your hand up. Just while heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Just if that's you this morning, just slip your hand up and say, yes, David, I want to do that. Just so I can see it while no one's looking around. And we're going to pray together and say, yes, Jesus, come into my life right now. Is anybody ready to do that this morning? Just slip your hand up quickly and say, hey, that's me, Dave. I want to do that. Or maybe you've prayed a prayer like that once, but you know that you're not close to God at the moment. And you're at a point where you know that you need to come back to God. You need to accept what He's got for you. If that's you, just slip your hand up and say, hey, that's me, Dave. I want to do that. And we will pray and we'll invite God to accept you through Jesus Christ.